in effect, y'all. I say the house of pain is in effect. You know, the house of... You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Little house of pain here on this Friday. Dog Pound kids, 7 to 12 years of age, are invited to sign up for the Cleveland Browns Youth Football Camp, where they'll work with the top high school coaches in a three-day camp focused on passing, kicking, blocking, and defense on the field of First Energy Stadium. They'll also receive hands-on action with the new 2015 Browns rookies. I don't know why that makes me laugh, but it does. Choose from two convenient sessions, June 8th through the 10th, June 15th through the 17th. Don't delay. Sign your kids up today on clevelandbrowns.com. Spaces are filling up quickly. Which session is young Mason?
He's in the second session, I believe.
15th to the 17th.
15th to the 17th.
The star session, they're calling it.
The star session. He will be focusing on his stance and his pass rush ability, and also
you fancy him as an edge rusher?
I do. I fancy him as a defensive lineman and or a tackle. He's just large.
He's a monster.
But he's got good feet.
He's got good feet.
And the one thing that I can say, and this is a no bias to the fact that he's my son, he's got the lower half of a linebacker. So okay. He's got the bubble butt. He's got hamstrings at 7 years old, and he's got these little calves. So the kid can run.
Nice.
We'll see.
He'll be out there.
Still gotta lose a little baby fat, but we'll get him.
The over tickets on the phrase bubble butt just cashed, by the way, on today's edition of Browns Daily.
He and I are gonna be running hills this summer.
And nobody's even gonna get in trouble for it. It's great.
Rumor has it he's being recruited early by Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Yeah. You can cross that off his list.
Let me ask you a question. Okay.
Yes. If I had an offer from Miami of Ohio or the University of Michigan, he'd be a Red Hawk.
Okay.
Well, I'm hopefully your son would be choosing for himself, and maybe he would choose that also. But
no.
I mean, did your parents tell you where you were going?
No. I just told them that wherever I would go would be for free.
But we're not having revisionist. You did tell them that. That's right. Not to have revisionist history, but as I recall, it came down for you to Ohio State and Michigan.
It absolutely did.
You were there.
It did. Yeah. So.
Somebody took you in a hall, as I recall.
The dark side can woo you from time to time with their magical powers, and you know, and you get into the Bo Schembechler Hall and you see the trophies and it's all impressive, you know. And then you meet some of the individuals and you walk the other way.
So it's like sirens back in the day from the sailors would go and the sirens would bring them in, lure them in.
All in all, if I would have went to, based on the 4 years that I played at Ohio State, had I gone to Michigan. Say no redshirt there as well, I would have come out on top of Ohio State twice and lost to Ohio State twice, which is
net even.
I thought, and you might have swung it
3-1 Michigan.
I mean, being just the parade all American that you were.
Yeah, you never know. But you know, and also too, just I mean, this is to promote the area, but the Ryan kid out of St. Ignatius who went to Michigan got drafted in the third round by the Packers. Who actually
the linebacker?
Yeah,
Jake Ryan.
Yeah, Jake Ryan will compete. It, just because they lost Jabari Lattimore, they lost A.J. Hawk, they cut Brad Jones. So they've got a weakness at linebacker, and it'd be great for a guy from the local area, albeit a Michigan guy, you know, get some run there up in Green Bay.
It's the nicest thing he's ever said, the kid.
I got goosebumps.
But Frank Clark's still a jerk, you know.
I agree.
Seattle's an idiot
agree.
For drafting him.
Frank Clark, I absolutely agree. I have nothing good to say about him.
No, but, you know, I had this conversation last night at a charity event when it came down to Ohio State, Michigan. We were talking rivals, and this is a guy from who was an Auburn guy and talking about the Alabama-Auburn rivalry. And I go, and I know listeners are probably like, oh, he's not a real Buckeye for saying this. I hate them, you know, in most cases for 1 week out of the year, and that's when it's Ohio State, Michigan week. Otherwise, you want them to do well. So that when you play them and beat them, it means more.
And hurts them.
Which is why the rivalry's lost a little bit of luster, and we welcome Jim Harbaugh.
The two greatest games, one of them was a win for us, and one of them was a loss. The first one was the year we won the national championship. You guys came into Michigan as the number 4 team in the country, and that was Chucky Wood picked off that Stanley Jackson pass, which some people still think Stanley Jackson was on the take. But that was one of the greatest games. And then the one where we lost, 2006, where it was 1-2, still the only time I've ever been in the Shoe, and was one of the greatest sporting events that my team lost at that I've ever been at.
And just to for you personally, simply because it's the first time. Actually, no, it's the second time, but I want to share this information. And maybe, I don't know if I did Monday when you were in for the Friday forecast on Monday, is when Trey Waynes, Michigan State cornerback, got drafted, got to spend some time with some familiar faces that are now the coaches up at Michigan State.
That was a cool moment, actually, to see you talking with all those
guys. And when brought up, you know, and I brought it up, just talking about, you know, how great Ohio State was, Urban. And then, of course, I asked about, you know, Jeremy Langford, Triplett, the wide receiver as well, and where they're going to go.
Lippitt,
you're right, sorry. I brought up the new addition to the Big Ten, and I got two words: he's a nutcase. And then and then they brought me closer, and he goes, "No, he's like a nut." So,
but he's my nut.
That he's your nut. You know what? And we hope that Ohio State continues to crack that nut.
They certainly do. 216-578-0850, guys. Let's talk real quickly though about Mike Pettine, what he said there. What stood out to you about what he had to say?
Well, you know, his language about, you know, Tom Brady was very strong and certainly respectful. Even as a Tom Brady fan, I like someone that tries to play by the rules, and I hope that Pett, and I'm sure Pett always will live up to that, you know, that you try to win, you try everything you can do to win within the confines of the rules. It all goes back to the, you know, the philosophy they're trying to instill, you know, do things the right way.
What I love is that, you know, for the Cleveland Browns to not only have their 12 draft picks, the six undrafted free agents, but to give that many young men an opportunity to showcase their ability. And that also, too, is the diligence of Ray Farmerhan and his staff to continue to dig and dig and seem like it's an endless process. Because as we found out last year with, you know, with Taylor Gabriel and some of the other guys, you know, that became a part of this football team who with in this same situation, it's very rare, you know, but when it happens, it just becomes a part of your process. And that's why 77 guys is very uncanny for a rookie minicamp, but, you know, not around here, not these days.
So Taylor Gabriel came through the tryout
was
last
a tryout.
Year.
Robert Nelson was a tryout guy. Ray Agnew was. Three tryout guys ended up making the final 53 or the first 53 for the Browns.
I think the roster's deeper this year. I'd be real surprised
100%.
If that happens.
100%. And there's going to be draft
picks. There
are going
to be veterans that are going to get cut.
There's
going to
be veterans that
are going to
get cut sooner than rather than later. And I think also, too, even though we talked to the one, you know, Randall Telfer today, he'll probably start the year on injured reserve or PUP, as well as EFO, who we talked to earlier in the week. So that's 10. You know, you got 10 guys, 10 left. And as competitive as this roster is going to be, the undrafted class, and, you know, you maybe find a diamond in the dust, you know, of the other tryout guys, there might be draft picks not signed to this roster in the final 53. But, you know, may end up on your practice squad, but may not find enough value in them.
May not. They do have value in Cam Irving. They love the guy's versatility, as we have said. And Cam Irving played right tackle for the first time in his career, spent a whole practice at right tackle. They said he'll also get reps at center. And, of course, a lot of reps at guard. Mike Pettine saying he will be moving him inside. About the quarterbacks, he said Josh McCown will get the first team reps in OTAs and minicamp. Johnny Manziel coming along, taking baby steps. They don't want to rush him. But Johnny Manziel will be there taking second-team reps along with Thad Lewis and Connor Shaw.
I hope Johnny does enough to change that. I hope that by the end of OTAs and that vet minicamp that Johnny is rotating with Josh McCown, because I think you're halting his growth both physically and mentally by sharing reps with guys that in his mind he is – head over heels better than Thad Lewis and Connor Shaw.
I think it's good, though, to set some little tests there to, you know,
sure,
put it on the table that we're not just going to put you back there. You're going to earn your way. And then, like you said, we got a real problem if he doesn't earn his way right back there, because he needs to be better than those guys. Those guys are, you know, backups at best, and we're looking for him to be a starter. He needs to just show I'm better than these guys, and I know the playbook as well as Connor Shaw now because I'm committed. Once it happens – then we got a quarterback derby.
Matt, did you guys ever do anything like this? Last night, the entire Browns coaching staff, team owner Jimmy Haslam, and key veteran players Joe Thomas, Dante Whitner, Joe Hayden, and Andrew Hawkins took the 12 rookie draft picks of the Browns out to dinner at XO Steakhouse in downtown Cleveland. Whitner apparently gave them a speech about how important they are going to be to the Browns' success this year and what it means to play like a Brown that had, I was told by some high-ranking officials here in the building, that they wanted to put their mouthpieces in and get back out there and start playing football again.
Oh, I'm sure. No, I never did that, and that's the first I've ever heard. No place that I've ever been did something like that with their draft picks. In most cases, all we would do is have that vet/rookie dinner, the rookie dinner, where, in this case, Danny Shelton and Cam Irving, being 12th and 19th overall, split the bill on a night, you know, it's on a night out with the vets. So, but that's in most cases after the season had started. They've gotten paid, they've gotten their bonuses, and you go out and they spend $25,000-$30,000 on, you know, on a great night out.
It is a great night out.
How does it get that expensive? Just wine?
Drinks. Louis XIII.
That's what exactly what it is.
You know, you're talking $100 a shot. Guys are buying bottles.
Yep.
I've seen, I don't want to say, you know, swear
I went to a ridiculous dinner like that when I worked for McKinsey, and it got completely
But I've seen, there's been veteran guys with that don't have the best relationship with a rookie that will take a bottle of Louis XIII and pour it out just simply to spite the rookie that it has to be on his bill whether someone drank it or not.
That's weak.
It is weak. Very much so.
Why would you?
Dude, you know me. I'm all about the free willies. I went and I lived it up. I was doing the sushi. I was doing the apps. I had my killer, you know, ribeye in most cases. I had multiple drinks. Got home safe. You know, the desserts were crazy. And it was a blast. It was good. But also, too, it's a unique setting with no coaches around for you guys to bond.
No, that's what it is. It's all about the bonding, getting the camaraderie down, getting the teamwork down. By the way, our guy Disco Puma on Twitter, who is a guy that knows a lot about the game, watches tape, said Marvin Kloss has a good chance to make it. Very good kicker. He's a guy, one of the guys, the tryout guys in this rookie minicamp for the Cleveland Browns. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to wrap things up with the Friday forecast here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Force.